Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen, Mummy, and I'm coming to you live right now, all around the world. Can you imagine all 24 time zones right now can listen to our little broadcast of Come Now, Don't Sulk, on the Here Be Monsters studio, and we're part of Blog Talk Radio. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, just as Mummy used to be with MGM, and then Republic Pictures, and then all sorts of different strange little 8mm film studios in Times Square during the 60s. I mean, that's another story for another time. But anyway, we are very proud to be part of Here Be Monsters studio. We're in our third year, can you imagine? And we're here tonight with our producer, as we always are. She's our producer, our muse, our inspiration. I just adore her. Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, are you on the line right now?
I am. Hi. How are you? How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I couldn't laugh. I can't laugh harder. For anyone who's just tuning in, for anyone who's never heard our broadcast before, that little voice from Lammy Pie.
Hello, everybody. I'm very good.
It's like that is the antithesis of Gwendolyn Holdenberry. She is a mysterious sorceress and a spellcaster. She is not a Lammy Pie. This is not Lamb Chop from Sherry Lewis's broadcast. This is a very dangerous and powerful woman, and she is not to be messed with. And she sounds a lot more like Miss Kitty from the Silver Dollar Saloon on Gunsmoke than she does from Shirley Temple. So don't be fooled by that little voice she came. I don't even know what that was. Anyway, she is our sponsor, too. She is the founder of daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And she brings our program to you every week, and we are glad for her sponsorship, and we're grateful to listeners just like you. Thank you. Before we do anything, I'm going to give out our phone number because this is a live podcast, and you can call in and talk to us. You can either ask me questions or you can ask Lammy Pie questions. The number is 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, before we get into our spring stuff tonight, I do want to ask you, you've been at your work table for days now and conjuring and making fabulous things for the spring. Do you have a fragrance we should look for on the site that's good for this mid-March that we're coming into?
Well, I'm going to suggest one of our misters. It's also an oil among the goddess oils. It's Rhiannon. You know Rhiannon. Rings like a bell in the night. She comes in darkness with the values of wealth and generosity, strategic, politically adept, and enchanting. This is the broad we need right now. It's a wonderful blend. It's very grounding. It has a top note of jasmine because it's the night air, but it's grounded in a very verdant foam coop or hay with vetiver. So we've got grass and soil there. And on top of it, we have the jasmine blooming. So it's like walking into the garden at night.
Oh, that's lovely. And I adore jasmine. And it is funny because jasmine, for people who've never smelled jasmine, for me, and I'm a novice at this, you, of course, are the expert, Gwendolyn, but plumeria, jasmine, those fragrances are so, so tropical and wonderful and mystical to me. I love those scents of the tropics that are just amazing. So that's lovely.
You do know that jasmine is considered the king of scent, whereas rose is the queen. Jasmine is always considered the king, and that comes out of Chem, Egypt. And, of course, they made use of jasmine a great deal there, not only in the temples, but, you know, Cleopatra filled her sails with it.
Now, that's incredible. Can you imagine soaking her sails of her ship, that gorgeous ship, in perfume? It's just so, it's like throwing the pearl into the glass of wine. I mean, it's just so extravagant. It's just so extravagant. I have a question. Yeah, well, do you have a fragrance? Do you? Go on.
Mm-hmm. No, well, no, you go. Called them barges. You know, it was a barge.
Right.
And they had people who tended to those barges, whether, you know, she was using it or not. And this goes through all the pharaohs. And keeping essential oils in certain places of the temple to charge or to receive the energy of the gods, they had a special room for the jasmine and the other precious oils that they would mix in with the jasmine to soak the sails for each different event of the year.
Terrific. That's terrific. I have a quick question, and then we'll move on. But do you have do jasmine and plumeria ever blend together well? I know that there are essential oils that one would never blend. Or would try not to, unless they put a third ingredient or fourth to try and get it to blend properly. But I love plumeria, and I love what's another name for plumeria? It's not
French.
Tuberose, is it?
Frangipani.
It's what?
Frangipani. I have a tree in the backyard. Frangipani is one of those really exotic, rare, absolute oils when you purchase it. And I have some. I work with it. But I also found out that when the frangipani blooms, they fall right after coming to fruition on the tree. They fall to the ground, and they still smell incredibly flowing with the frangipani. If I take them and put them into a maceration or herbal oil, like I make my sweetgrass, that the beginnings of it that way, if I put the frangipani blossoms in there and forget about it, put it in the back of the cupboard for a month or a year, and then bring it out and strain all the goop that becomes these blossoms out of it, oh, my God, the sweetness. Mm.
Oh, it's oh. To me, my first memory of landing in Hawaii the first time I went was that the airport in Honolulu, you got out of the jet and we were walking down the walkway because the main, well, at that time, the main airport in Hawaii that was connected you from a walkway or a bridge or whatever you want to call it. The jet, you walked out of the jet into a bridge. You were indoors still, and then you walked into the airport. Okay, at that time, the only airport in the Hawaiian Islands that had that option was in Honolulu. If you landed in Maui or any of the other islands, like it was 1950 again, you walked down, even if it was pouring rain, you walked out of the jet down a staircase, just like the old TWA days, the old Pan Am days. You walked down onto the tarmac in pouring rain, whatever the weather was. You walked outdoors. You walked across the tarmac forever until you got into whatever building was an airport there. So I went to Kauai and I went to Maui and I went to the Big Island. My God, the Big Island airport at that time was like a lean-to. It was a shed, and you walked outdoors, and, you know, it was incredible. But anyway, the bottom line was when we landed in Honolulu, that first trip that I took there, we got into the bridge out of the jet, and then we were on that bridge walkway, and the smell of plumeria was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it was perfume they were spraying. I thought they had sprayed fresh air freshener or something.
No.
Then you got into the, you got out of it and you got onto the, into the gate landing, you know, whatever gate it was, gate 12 or whatever. And back then the airport was not big. So you didn't have 40 gates. You had like maybe 12 of them or whatever. You got into that gate where people were sitting, you know, in the chairs and everybody, but all in Hawaiian clothes, you know, Hawaiian print shirts and Bermudas and flip flops. And it was February, you know, I mean, it was classic Hawaii. But when you got there, it still smelled like plumeria.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
as you were walking to the luggage claim area, you realized that there were no windows. You were actually in an airport, but there were no enclosure. It was all open air. So you were walking on carpeting. You were walking on terrazzo floors. You were passing flight attendants dragging their suitcases, their roll-ons and everything. All of that stuff was going on. But as you walked along and headed, the signs were all there, the restaurants, but everything was open air. And you were passing plumeria trees, the trees
right.
that were planted at the airport beside the open window areas where there were no
Purposely,
windows. Where
yeah.
The whole place was fragrant. It was shocking, shocking.
Now,
and you just
mother,
went on and on and on.
My mother landed in Maui and was charmed like that, spoke about it too. Yeah. It's amazing. I have... It's a strange thing to say, but I have some very good memories of airports, specific airports. And again, I avoid Newark, but I really have some great, one of my favorite, well, of course, it's my favorite city, but one of my favorite airports is, and I've watched it grow up a little too, is Paris, Orly, you
oh
know,
my goodness.
And they have those trams now, well, they have had for 20
yes.
years that go, you know, back and forth, you know, I will,
yes.
I was, and the other thing about the Paris airport, you know, you get into the airport and it's like smoke if you got them, baby. So I'm like,
yeah.
Woo, woo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
The trams going back and forth and they're right next to one another. And I once was going like west and somebody's coming east, right next to each other. And, you know, I ran into somebody who was my roommate from boarding
school.
We
oh, my golly. It really is a small world.
In 15 years, and it's like Irene, Gwen, and of course we're walking now backwards, you know, to say, oh my God,
yes.
you know.
That's so funny.
It is, isn't it? But it's one of my favorite. There's lots of airport. Denver is a trip.
Yes,
Denver
it is. The entire year that I traveled with George all over the country, we went to 37 states. We went to airports that were like astounding. Yes, we went to Denver and we went to Omaha and we went to Chicago and, you know, Philadelphia and Boston, all of the main ones. But we also went to airports that were like Minot, North Dakota and Aberdeen, South Dakota,
ooh,
where you
ooh.
had taken, yeah, you had taken a flight to, you had left LaGuardia or Newark or Kennedy and you'd flown to Denver. And then, or Kansas City, and or Minneapolis, oh my God, the ultimate. And then you not only went to a different complex, so they had A, B, C, D, and E, but you went to gate, listen to this, D49. D, not A49, D49, meaning that A, B, C, and D had dozens and dozens of gates. And you went to letter D and you went to 49. And of course, when you got there, the gate had been diminished to folding chairs and one wastebasket and a desk that was unoccupied. And seven people who were all heading to Butt Poke, Idaho. You know, it was like, and when the plane pulled up, it was a piper with folding chairs bolted to the floor. And I mean, it was
right.
that ridiculous. It was
yeah.
that ridiculous. It was like peanuts and a Coke. Are you kidding? That you have to be first class on that flight to get a Coca-Cola and a bag of peanuts. I mean, we flew to places that were wild. And of course, when you landed in the Butt Poke Airport, it was in fact a chicken coop attached to a barn with like a runway that was a dirt road, but only during dry weather. I mean, it was.
Don't you just love those adventures? I mean, there are some airports that you just.
Hysterical.
I do not care for O'Hare. I'm not a Chicago friend, and I will do anything in the world not to be going through the Philly airport. No, thank you. Never, ever,
yeah.
ever again. No more Philly.
Yeah.
I'm so charmed by my airport, which would be West Palm Beach. It has grown
uh-huh.
up. And Fort
yes.
Lauderdale, wow, did it grow up from the time I was
yes.
a little prep schooler getting on the Shawnee plane to fly up the middle of the state, walking from the Quonset
yes.
hut.
Yeah, because I've been going to Fort Lauderdale for years. I've seen the Fort Lauderdale airport change dramatically, much nicer. I think they felt very envious and shamed by Miami, because when you would go to Miami or Fort Lauderdale, you could
mm-hmm.
technically land in, depending on the convenience and the airline you were taking, you'd fly either to Miami or to Fort Lauderdale and maybe be visiting the other city because they're so close.
Right.
So you know, when you were in New York, depending on what you wanted to do, you could fly either to Fort Lauderdale or Miami, depending, you could fly to all sorts of airports there, depending on what day you were leaving and what airline you wanted to take and all the convenience. But Fort Lauderdale was a serious step down from Miami, and yet we could see that Fort Lauderdale was saying, wait a minute, we're fag town, we're going to get an airport that's as good as Miami, you know.
It is.
I want to just remind people, but go ahead.
Well, it has grown into a pretty large international airport, but
yes.
So is West Palm, but I love West Palm because you've got Saks, Lord & Taylor.
I was just going to joke with you about the fact that it's like West Palm Beach Airport is actually a boutique. They have a Cartier there in case you want to buy a $50,000 brooch. They've got a Harry Winston in there in case you want to buy a diamond bracelet for $250,000. And then, of course, Starbucks is right next door for an iced latte for $89.95. So,
yeah, it's true. And the carpeting in there is like the best airport carpeting I have ever experienced. I was like, because I hadn't been actually through. I'd been driving in and out of town for a while, and I got in, and they had just finished redoing it. And the artwork is stunning, too.
Yes.
That's like, wow.
Well, everybody who lives there is loaning their Picassos from their dining rooms and everything to the airport. Listen, I want to just remind everyone to call in at 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. And speaking of calling in, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have a caller.
Yeah.
Wayne, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am, and welcome, folks. Good day to you all.
I'm going to introduce you to our listeners. Wayne mm-hmm. Johnson is one of our regular listeners, and he has graduated from being a listener to a panelist. We've run this show like What's My Line, and so he's our Louis Untermeyer or our Bennett Cerf here on our What's My Line panel. And, of course, Gwendolyn is our Arlene Francis, and I guess that makes me Dorothy Kilgallen, who has a date at any point with an assassin fairly soon. We're talking tonight about airports, which by inference is travel, because people are beginning to travel more again.
Right.
And I posted tonight on the ads on Facebook about the fact that hospitals are emptying, restaurants are reopening, masks are being tossed, people are loosening up and feeling more spring-like, and spring is only a week away, and we turned our clocks forward. Some people were unfortunate and turned their clocks backward, and tonight is not Monday for them, it's last Thursday, but that's a different story for another time. they're living in a different dimension. But Wayne, how
– yes.
First of all,
take your time.
Spring is – what is the poem is April is the cruelest month.
Uh-huh.
You know the old saying, April is the cruelest month.
Right.
And spring for most people is spring fever and falling in love. I have my own melancholies about spring. Mm-hmm. There are things about spring that happened in my life in March and April that are sad things. And
right.
I thought that we could talk about happy things about spring tonight, but we could
That's
also talk about things that are maybe haunting or sad things, like when all our friends are doing cartwheels in tutus in the open
mm-hmm.
fields with daisies, you know, going, yahoo, it's March 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us, some of us have, you know, are enjoying it too, but have sad things. I want you and Gwendolyn to talk about what's your favorite thing, what's your happiest thing about spring. And then if you feel like it's sharing something that is maybe not as happy. So who wants to go first, Gwendolyn or Wayne?
No, look, ladies are always first. Please, Gwen.
So everybody in March will be thinking about spring. And it used to be, I grew up in March as, you know, the daughter of Irish folk. And in my family, I mean,
such a pejorative way. I grew up in the presence of Irish people. That's
I'm a Celt.
That's like a Southerner from 1950 saying, "Now you understand that the Jeffersons are Negro people, and we like them very much. But you must understand that they are, darling, we call them Negroes, and they are they're." A little brown. They're a little bit browner than us. I happen to be Irish, and I take exception to you saying, now, there were people that were Irish people. Anyway, go on.
So my parents were extremely Irish, and actually, my mother would have what was called the annual drunk on the 16th every year. It was actually written up in the social pages of Broward County. It was if you're not invited to, you know, Mrs. Berry's annual drunk, you haven't made it, really. And it was a tradition. It was a tradition. And when I got into college and got a wider education with history and understood that Patrick was a Roman who actually committed genocide on my Druid ancestors, and I related that to my mother when she was asking if I would be home for St. Paddy's, she, you know, all hell done broke loose. It don't matter, get down here. But I will say this too, March now, for me, I do celebrate St. Patrick's Day because I'm an Irish American, very proud of it. I'm proud of my Celt heritage, and I walk with it every day, dear. I will say this, Mother was good at making an entrance and an exit, and she crossed the day before St. Patrick's, and one of the last things she asked me to do was to keep St. Paddy's Day, which, as you can imagine, I did very well that year. it's March is sort of a bittersweet time, but when I'm in the north, I can feel spring coming. I think everybody knows this feeling of the, you know, the snowdrops that come up, or you know, the unfrost and then the freeze. But you know, I got to tell you, spring in Florida is a whole lot different And
I know that you people feel in Florida, in Port St. Lucie, for the home audience, that's where Gwendolyn lives. I know that you feel you have seasons there and that you have a winter there of sorts, but you get very little sympathy from us Northerners. I posted on my Facebook page at Tourette, we got like 2 feet of snow 2 days ago. I mean, we got the biggest snowstorm of the winter this year 2 days mm-hmm. ago, and everything was literally like a Hollywood film. It was where I live in the suburbs of Pennsylvania on the mountainside. It was absolutely cinematic. I mean, the fact that the temperature is climbing to 67 degrees tomorrow that it's disappearing. But I mean, we were buried in snow. So all my crocuses and everything were buried completely.
I will say this though. I've lived half my life back and forth between New York and Florida and Boston and Florida. And I will say this. I have always the blizzards come in April, boys. The blizzards come mm-hmm. in April.
Oh yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I've been warning everyone. I've been saying, you know, my snow shovel was buried in the garage. And I pulled it out because I had to shovel that snow. But I must tell you something. I still worry that even with the temperatures going up into the 70s this week, at the end of the week, and apparently in the 80s, just down I-95 in Washington, D.C., which means that Wayne, who's in Baltimore, mm-hmm. is going to have like, if it's 80 in Washington, it'll be 77 where you are or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you and I, Wayne, probably should be careful because we still have 2 weeks of March. And,
right.
you know, in my experience in New York City, 2 weeks in April, it snows. For the years that I lived in New York, all the decades uh-huh. I lived there, it snowed right. every April in New York. It may not have stuck. It may have been mm-hmm. a sun flurry where it was sunny, but there was flurries, and the snow might not even have gotten to the ground, really. It might have been hitting the ground and disappearing for the 15 minutes it snowed. But it snows in New York City every April, if only for a few minutes. And so, as Gwendolyn said, you'd never, ever, ever trust it because March and April can be very tricky. So as we
absolutely.
Appear in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, that blizzard we got was absolutely astounding. It was astounding. And Jim Cantore predicted it as a dusting. And it was the one time when he was wrong, as opposed to saying a hurricane is going to wipe out, you know, New York City, and then it was a wet fart. This time it was a light dusting of snow. It was like 12 inches in an hour or something. It was ridiculous. Anyway,
yeah.
Wild. Gwendolyn, so you have your sweet, your bittersweet memories of March, both.
Mm-hmm.
You have lovely and bitter and poignant ones. Wayne, what do you want to share?
Well, the most beautiful thing is I have twin grandsons who were born March the 11th.
Wow.
And not yesterday, but the week before, we celebrated the twins' birthdays downtown Annapolis, where we live here. And have done this in the last three cons.
How old are they, by the way, again? How old are they?
Five. They just turned five.
And are they
so,
identical twins or fraternal?
They are fraternal. That was a very good question.
Okay.
And they're definitely two separate little boys. But one doesn't think of, the other one will. And the other one will go along, it's the best idea ever. Like, this is up with the car. Anyway, so Jerry is from a large family. He is one of five brothers and things like that, and with friends and family and everything all extended out. It was just easier for them to rent, just basically take over a restaurant right downtown Annapolis on Spa Creek, right across from the Naval Academy, per se. And then, of course, every year that we held that for the last 3 years, then we just walk a block to the Annapolis Harbor Dock. And this is where Kunta Kinte was brought in and unloaded. And they had the Irish Day Parade there. And I was joking with my daughter, and I said, you know, these boys may think this is parade is all about them, you know, over the last 3 years. They just threw on it and turning five. But it's a lovely time. My son-in-law is, they are Sicilian Italians. My wife, her mother was a butler, which is very, very Irish. My wife has kind of it's darkened up, but they kind of the red hair. The oldest sister had like the beautiful flaming, not orange, the beautiful flaming red hair. The Irish aspects does run in the family. And the Johnsons were the Scottish, which is Johnson being Scottish.
Right.
They were Vikings. They sailed down from Norway or something like that and said, this little area here, yeah, it's called Edinburgh. No, it's ours. It doesn't like move over. So that's where we came from. I'd say the Scottish kind of aspects built in. It's very much runs in line. I like to tell, the Irish gave the Scots the bagpipe. That's a joke. But the Scots haven't figured that out yet.
You wouldn't want to be saying that in a bar in Edinburgh.
No.
Well, there you go. That's what I said. And then I can preface it by saying, hey, this includes me, okay?
Your twins were born on March 11th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my mother's birthday. And for those of
who
read my stories and or read my posts and my stories and listen to my Tourette's, about my mother, I'm hoping that you have so much better luck with your twins than I had with my mother, who of course has passed. She's no longer with us. Well, I had to kill her, but that's another story for
another time.
So my mother was one of the most brilliant, radiant, intelligent, curious, funny, brilliantly funny, charismatic, magnetic psychopaths I've ever had the luck to meet, and so I just she truly goes down as one of the most extraordinary human beings I ever met, and it's a wonder that she never was caught with her axe, because she certainly would have she would have been rooming next to Hannibal Lecter if they had caught her at the time.
Gin rummy games.
So you have happy memories of March. Are there things that about March that are not happy for you? For me, spring is always a mixed bag. I love spring, especially because I'm still in the north and I experience a spring. If I was in Hawaii or Florida, it wouldn't be as dramatic a change from February to March to April. So when spring comes, my neighbors are all outside, yahooing it up. I am too, but I also, when I'm kneeling in my garden that first couple of times and putting my hands into the thawing soil, I am also filled with lots of memories which come with the longer you live, the more you have, you. So, for Gwendolyn, her mother passed in March, and Gwendolyn was extremely close to her mother and is still. For me, I've got my own stuff. Do you have that stuff too?
Well, yeah, I do. And as both you and Gwen do know, unfortunately, my youngest daughter, Morgan, a Celtic named Morgan, who loved Celtic music, caught COVID 2 years ago in February.
Right at the beginning of the crisis.
In the beginning, but just right before the vaccine came out. Just right before the vaccine came out.
Of course.
But she, she was being seen by doctors. Everything was being addressed. She's, got the vaccines and stuff. But some people, the long-term effects of COVID is her lungs got worse and worse as time went on. And basically, last Sunday, a week ago, yesterday, the late Sunday night or early Monday morning, a week ago today, she passed. Her lungs just quit. And this whole week I have been making errands and arrangements to, have her buried, services and things like that. My wife and I just went ahead and bought 3 lots at the funeral of a cemetery where my wife grew up in Denton, Maryland. She will be put in one, and when my time and my wife's time come, we'll be buried right next to her. So that was that's been a bitter something for us. It's been a horrendous journey.
Well, Gwendolyn and I have held you in all our prayers and our warmest wishes and our just every hug we could possibly shower on you long distance.
And I've felt them all. I have felt them all. Thank you.
So...
Yeah, but kind of a little switch gear, not to bring your radio show to pulling out the razor blades episode, is I will be 69 years old this April the 7th of this year.
Wow.
And I was going to say, one of my favorite numbers, and, nobody's more impressed that when I look back on my life, that I'm still here. Nobody's more impressed with that fact than I am. And I've had my moments. We've had a good time, especially the Navy stuff too. The crazy shit for them in the Navy. But when my parents brought me home from the hospital, it snowed. We were talking about that April snow.
And where was this in Maryland?
Yes. Matter of fact, Eastern Maryland, which is directly, basically right across from Annapolis on the eastern shore of the Delmarva Peninsula.
So you've lived there your whole life. Except for your tours of duty in the military, you basically have been a Baltimore area person most of the time.
Yes, yeah. I did 6 years out in Columbus doing consulting engineering, upgrading the electrical infrastructure grid, which I still today am still doing here in the Mid-Atlantic. This is where the work is in the Mid-Atlantic. It's upgrading the Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., the Delmarva Peninsula, all this whole Mid-Atlantic area. We're addressing the electrical infrastructure grid here right now. So.
Right.
And that's why,
right.
That's why I'm still probably keep continuing work until I'm 72, because there's that much work. Well, everybody knows our electrical infrastructure grid in this country has been in a drastic need to be modernized, upgraded, remove equipment that has been there for well over 60 years kind of stuff. So it's a good time to be in the field I'm in.
Well, I have to say that the other day when we had our blizzard, the thing that was most striking was not only that it was that big, it was soaking wet. It was a heavy, heavy snow. Mm-hmm. So it was a big snow, and it was a heavy snow, and then it froze. We had sub-freezing temperatures immediately afterwards. It was snowing at 30 degrees, and then it froze down. It went down into the 20s, and everyone was predicting that we were going to lose power lines all over the place around here and trees and stuff like that. We have been very lucky. We had a 15-minute blackout for I don't know what it was, and it wasn't even associated with a storm. We had a 15-minute blackout like 2 months ago, and it was just like some regional little thing around here, and then it was over. People near us, because of where we are in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and you begin to have those mini mountains and, rocky sort of gorges and stuff, that kind of area, we have people who have like little rolling blackouts every once in a while when the storms come and the power lines are so exposed and the trees are so big. It's very tricky. So we were lucky, though. We didn't have that. But it is amazing how the infrastructure, it's yet another thing for the Republicans to hate Joe Biden for, is, he's trying to do something about the infrastructure in this country. And of course, that just is not what we want to spend money on. We want to keep giving it to the 1%. So their golf courses in St. Bart's will be mowed properly. And, their mansion in the Cayman Islands will be maintained properly. So, but I thank you personally for whatever you do for the power grid here in the country. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service in the military, and thank you for your service on our wiring.
I guess I was put on this earth to serve, to make mankind, but life better for mankind. That's my job.
What do we have as planned? Do we have any callers tonight? None?
Actually, we are sailing solo right now.
Okay.
So far.
Well, then it's more time for us, and that's just fine.
There you go.
I wanted to just do we have any plans for the spring? I know that George and I are planning on hitting New York in the next couple of weeks. A friend of ours is starring in the musical version of Bridges of Madison County. That is opening just outside of New York City. It's premiering there, and we're going to go there. And we have some business and some errands to run in the city, so we thought we might spend a 2 or 3 day little sojourn up in the city. And we're, you know, I know that they're still having people wear masks on airplanes and on on the trains for public travel like that. They're still having masks, but at least it's feeling so much freer. You know, we're going to restaurants where people are not masking now, and I'm not feeling as threatened by it. Not that I felt threatened. I don't feel as worried about unvaccinated people being careless around me. And I think that we're getting to a point where we're starting to feel that, you know, we can feel a little easier. I resent the fact that I'm hearing people on Fox News and, you know, the man in the street that they're interviewing say things like, see, we're not wearing masks anymore. We didn't need to. And we did. It's like, I can't hear. I just can't hear hillbilly talk. I'm sorry. Right. I'm using a term that's pejorative, but I just can't hear flat worlder talk. I just can't hear anti-vaxxer. I'm not interested in QAnoners. I'm sorry that they survived, and people who are so careful and wonderful like your daughter, your beautiful daughter, are lost to this war, and that people who certainly deserved to drop in the battlefields of COVID did not. Mm-hmm. They strode through untouched, but spreading it elsewhere. So, I'm planning to go to New York. And
let me just interject here a little bit with the current events.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes due east or due west of Annapolis. You're getting into the beltway of Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And the verbiage coming out of these truckers who are going to block traffic for freedom. They haven't done anything. 495 is always blocked, you know, by each other. But people riding past with those trucks in line next to them, they're getting saluted with that big middle finger telling you, hey, go parent yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And they're surprised, like, why are we being treated like this?
I always think it's interesting when shitholes are disconcerted by the fact that people call them that. It's like, wait a minute, you're a jackass, and your feelings are hurt that people are seeing you for what you are. Interesting, very interesting.
Yes.
As far as
the COVID thing goes, I'm not so sure that we're out of any kind of woods, but it is loosening up. I do agree with that. But it's still out there. I know I have to get a booster because my spring plans, I have a retroactive round trip flight. So I need to use it up between April and May. So I will be taking my seeds with me wherever I go and hitting my seat and the vent and everyone around me.
Well, wait a minute, Gwendolyn, you had the third shot, right, already?
You should have a fourth one coming up.
No,
oh, Gwendolyn, they're talking about
I didn't get the booster. I did not get the booster because it was so kind of jammed up down here, and then I kept forgetting about it until Gwendolyn,
they're giving away boosters now at every lemonade stand.
Right.
There was CVS, the whole nine yards.
Well, here it was kind of crowded up and stuff, so we didn't go over and sit for a couple hours.
Wait a minute, you didn't have to. You don't have to anymore. It's amazing what's going on. They're just handing out boosters everywhere.
Right,
you know, Gwendolyn, we actually have friends. Listen to
what?
This. We have friends
that went and got
a fourth booster. We have friends who have actually gone because it's not being legislated carefully. We've had friends go to a CVS or to whatever, a Walgreens or wherever, and go in and ask for a booster shot. So and that is a booster on top of the third booster. So they got their third booster, which you didn't, right? But they have gone in and said, I want to get a booster. I want to get go in and get a booster.
I want a Pfizer. I don't want anything else. I'm
right.
That's
right.
What I've got. Pfizer has had. But, I didn't even feel the shot. I've had no side effects, even a sore arm kind of thing. Nothing from Pfizer.
Yeah, me too. The Pfizer shot. We got our booster. It was the easiest thing in the world. And this is the killer. We had friends who went to CVS's and had gotten their third booster when they were, and their third booster is coming to an end now, you know, it's like, and they went in and they just said, I want a booster shot. And the CVS people gave them a booster shot.
Yeah.
So, and Pfizer today said, or yesterday, what's his name? The chairman of the board of Pfizer was on Meet the Press or something and said that Pfizer is already preparing a fourth booster, a fourth shot, and that it will be even more comprehensive. So it not only will take care of Omicron, but they're sort of getting it to the point where it will last longer and be more comprehensive. It will be more deadly to other versions of COVID that possibly could develop. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to get my fourth booster. It's like, have at it.
Same,
you know what I mean?
Same here.
So I just the truck driver thing and the people that escaped, I have no use for them. Apropos of that, back to what I was saying with spring coming, George and I are beginning to get out of the house more and go. We've been eating at breakfast at diners nearby, and we've been doing things that are more spring-like, the sort of stuff that the three of us, you and Wayne and I, Gwendolyn, were hoping for a year ago today. If you remember, we were all hoping that spring was going to open up, and it did.
Right.
And then by April, Omicron had descended on us, and everyone boarded up their windows again and ran away. You know, restaurants, you know, closed down again or whatever. And so that's what we're doing with our spring. What are you two doing? Are you sort of getting out of the house or eating at dinner on a Wednesday night at a favorite restaurant? Or?
Well, you know, here in South Florida, people have been so – there's still a lot of COVID being passed around, mostly with people who were not vaccinated who are walking around with the, you know, no symptoms, but they're carriers. And
God, that's so good to hear. I'm so happy to hear that. You gave me the best news in the world. That's just the best news. I feel so much more spring-like.
So
really? Seriously?
I
I'm hearing that hospitals are emptying, Gwendolyn.
Well, down here, yeah, they are, but there are still a lot of people who are non-symptomatic. I mean, at Christmas time, we had a problem with that just in the family. I was intuitive enough to stay home from the big dinner. But
right, I remember you said that, yeah.
Yeah, my spring, I'm getting ready to, my big thing is to, still getting the groceries delivered, yeah. But I go out, like Friday, I was out running my errands and stuff.
Oh.
Use a mask and the thieves spray, and I'm very careful. I'm not bar hopping. There's
no
lesbian
not.
Bar. There's no lesbian bars anymore. I
no,
mean,
no,
this,
no, no.
This is a national crisis. But anyway, I am getting ready to fly to do some traveling because that I want to do absolutely. And most of the people in my family or community. Yeah, a lot of travel to each other's house, but we are areas and meeting up, but not so much into public places for dining or anything. Everything's like at the house. And,
well, that's lovely because where we are, people aren't entertaining in their homes that much. They're beginning to loosen up, but people are going to public places like restaurants that have an outdoor tent, you know, the outdoor dining heated facility,
that's
or
a new
so.
Thing,
but people are still being a little worried about having people inside their confined home. You know what I mean? It's like so many square feet, and especially because we're not open air like you could be in Florida. You could have your windows open sort of or whatever. Here, it's still, we've got our heater, you know, our furnaces are still going and our windows are still closed.
You
so.
Have your free, you do you have your free, everybody should have their free, and you can get more now too for free. COVID tests?
I know. And you test, but that still doesn't let you know if they're going to turn positive. Like you could test right now, but then mm-hmm. you have to not be exposed. You have to quarantine yourself for 24 hours or 48 hours so you don't get exposed after you
right.
got your negative result. Does that make sense? The testing right. was mm-hmm. always bogus to me, was always bogus. Anyway, I want to ask Wayne. Wayne, what are you? We've only got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask Wayne, what are you doing? Are you planning anything special, or are you loosening up? Are you going to restaurants and stuff?
Oh yes, we are going to restaurants, and of course, my love for music. We have a place down here called the Ram's Head. Bacon Brothers, Kevin Bacon, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, will be performing here in another couple weeks. You know, Ram's Head has always been very, very cautious. But still, I mean, I saw Billy Bob Thornton's band. I have seen, the great blues like Mike Zito and Castro and things like that. But my wife and I, as we've been riding around and just, you know, in our journey and what we've been doing here, taking care of our errands and business with this
right.
past week, is you're starting
right.
to see the cherry trees starting to bloom. You see the blossoms coming out, about ready to erupt, right? So, and like I said, being 20 minutes from the Beltway at D.C., where we could go at New Carrollton Station and then ride into D.C. on the light rail, maybe when the cherry trees are in full bloom in D.C. My wife, I said something to my wife, if it's warm and when things have peaked, it's so easy for us to get there, let's go do that and enjoy it. Of course, we always like to go to the mall, which is the Smithsonian and all the, the Capitol building is right there and all that area. The National Museum of Art, where they actually have a Leonardo da Vinci painting. The little crease in the corner of your mouth as he was doing it, he used his thumb to put that little crease at the corner of the lady's mouth. And if you look real close, you can see a little bit of, you can see his thumbprint of that.
Oh.
I love the theater. I love the arts and all that. So, you were talking about going to New York, maybe catch the theater and stuff. With Bridges of Madison County. My son-in-law, they are very, very, very well connected in D.C. Jerry's father was asked to be the ambassador to the Vatican twice, once under Reagan and once under Daddy Bush. They're very well connected, and they know people. Well, someone started with this little play in D.C. Jerry's mother said, and called Jerry, and some of the other family said, look, we got a chance to invest in this little play. And they think it's going to go somewhere. And so both my daughter and my son-in-law put in the money, went along with his mom and stuff. This little play ended up in New York, and it was called Dear Evan Hansen. It won 7 Tony Awards, right?
Yeah,
on Broadway.
Yeah.
And she said, and the movie came out, and Kate, and my daughter Kate says, I wish we had invested in the movie, too.
Yeah. It's
for every one of those stories, though,
it's important to remember there are 1,000 that are not that. And it's
that's
like, what? How many broken hearts are there? There's 1,000 broken hearts for every light on Broadway. You know,
there
what I mean? Light bulb on Broadway. It's like, oh, that is such a true, true thing. But yes, there are people who have invested in a strange little play that just is so weird called Hello, Dolly. It's like, what? Is it about a doll? Is it about a doll? Or is it a toy? Or what? It's like, oh, dear God. You know, you if you you'd invested a dollar in the original version of Hello Dolly, you'd be a billionaire by now, you know. Anyway, well, listen, we're running low on time. I want to remind everyone that you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, our weekly podcast, or mostly weekly, and it's live, and it goes all around the world. There are people listening to us right now in Germany and Canada and South Africa and in Asia, and so we have listeners from all around the world. We welcome you every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time now, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone, and we encourage you to call in, and you could call in from anywhere that you would like. We didn't have any callers tonight, but we had a wonderful chat about the spring coming and what's happy and what's bittersweet about spring for the three of us. We want to remind you that you can find us, first of all, we are brought to you by Here Be Monsters, or I'm sorry, we're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and we're brought to you by the DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And Daughters of Isis has its own Facebook page, which you should check out, and you can shop online at DaughtersOfIsis.com for their amazing products and their essential oils and the fragrances that Gwendolyn, as head chemist there, puts together. And she's got, my God, 500 products now. The permutations of what she can do with essential oils is the mix, the different combinations are endless. So do check out their products. This is Blog Talk Radio Network, and we want to remind you that you can find Gwendolyn on Facebook and the Daughters of Isis, and you can find me at SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And you must join us, because we have a wonderful page called the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild, and that is a non-denominational, non-controversial, non-political haven for people to go and just laugh and share fun and funny stories and recipes and pictures of their kitties and everything. So the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild welcomes you. It does have a membership fee. Please make out your checks to $400 cash and send them to me. No, I'm just teasing. It's free. The Lollipop Guild is absolutely free. There's no membership fee at all. And please join us there. We have wonderful people there, absolutely wonderful people. We are probably going to air again next week, provided there hasn't been a disaster. Do we have from Gwendolyn and Wayne subjects? Oh, it'll be spring. Should we talk about that, or should we talk about how many times we threw up on St. Patrick's Day, or what? Should we talk about how to get the green paint off our bodies, since we'll have spray painted ourselves green and forgotten that we weren't supposed to use Krylon outdoor green paint?
High intensity strength enamel.
Yeah.
You know, right. I would say this. This next week is the perfect time to make new beginnings. We are going
into the
vernal equinox, and the planet in our hemisphere is shifting. And so be close to your Mother Earth, and make new beginnings, clean, get all the dross out from the winter, you know.
I agree.
Totally. It's all about the rebirth, the renaissance of the season.
I want to urge people, as I always do on my Tourette's, whether you're in a winter climate like I am up here or down south, wherever you are, get outside. It is spring. The world is opening for us in the Northern Hemisphere. I feel sorry for the people in the Southern Hemisphere. But for us in the Northern Hemisphere, it is turning into spring and summer. I want you to go outside, and I want you to look at beauty. I want you to really make yourself quiet, make your heart and your mind quiet, and look at something beautiful in nature. As Gwendolyn says, thank Mother Earth that this is what's happening, and be aware. Be present, be mindful, and be grateful. Look at things that are beautiful, and remember that everything is borrowed. The cat that you're scratching behind the ears, the dog you're patting on the head, the child that you're smiling at in the baby stroller, the family member that you're giving a hug to, everything is borrowed. Everything is borrowed. Those are not frivolous words.
No, you're
remember
located,
it.
Simple. Very well stated.
Everything is borrowed. And this spring, go out and celebrate life. We will see you next week. I love you all. I love you, Wayne. I love you, Gwendolyn. Good night.
Right back at
you. I love you, Mom.
And everybody else out there in listening land, we love you.